This song they're singing about coming to take shelter in the Guru, in the Master. They are tired of all the worldly games. No, they want to take shelter. They want to have peace. They had enough. Please, beloved, just hold my hand. I'm tired. In India, they have this tradition for thousands of years. But in the West, they never had this. The appreciation, the gratefulness towards the Master, towards wisdom, towards truth. So all these songs is a reminder for that. That which we have forgotten in the West. Here people are dry, their spirits, their hearts are dry. They have forgotten this gratefulness, this surrender, this devotion to the truth. Instead, we are devoted to money, power, image, wealth, all these things. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is holy. That's why people are more lost than ever. Because we have forgotten the most important side of our being. But I bring India here, so don't worry. Beloveds, can you speak to us about the mantra Om and the sound of Om, how to use it in our daily meditation? This mantra is also in the tradition, and it always has been in India, and still today you can get the mantra from the Guru that you practice. But that is very, very useless for most people because it's just a repetition. Like Maharishi Mahesh Yogi brought these mantras to the West. It comes from a time where people were very, very innocent. And when your body, your mind, your emotions are very still, very quiet, you are very available, very innocent, not in the head at all. And you have a trust in the Master, then it can work. But for the Western mind it's very difficult because so much restlessness. It just become a mental thing. And what is important in the mantra, there could be anything that reminds you of peace, of beauty, of love, of consciousness. That's why I said just the name of the Guru is enough. The name of God. The name of something or image that reminds you. So you always had these mantras to remind you of the good. Or a picture. Or in India, just the feet of the Guru. Anything that reminds you of that. That is what is important, not the mantra itself. And Aum, which is the most beautiful sound that you can't even say, it's just a hint from the old enlightened ones and rishis. It's almost like a scientific formula, because these words, Aum, is the foundation on all sounds. It is to take you to the worldless, beyond words, beyond sound, beyond form. And it's three words, and the fourth cannot be said. So this is just a hint, this the finest words, the finest sound, to take you to the worldless. But again, it doesn't help to say Aum. You have to be receptive for it. And in my experience, these sounds or these words or these images, it comes from within. Otherwise, it's just another mental thing. If you have the peace, the silence in your physical body, in your mental body, in your emotional body, if you are very rooted in silence, in meditation, then it can be beautiful to get settled deeper. And especially if you are in a cave, in a temple, in a mosque, in somewhere where this gives like an echo. But remember, the real Aum you can say is just like a humming in the universe. That is the real Aum. So all these things comes from a time where people were very silent already. Now those techniques, you can't just pick it up. It just becomes another mental thing. And as you change, the techniques change. In fact, all techniques, all meditations, all mantras is just there to take you beyond any techniques, mantras, meditations. Can you speak to us about the mantra Om and the sound of Om, how to use it in our daily meditation? If you are interested, Jayant, just play with it. Because it's not a word, and that's why it's not even Sanskrit. This word Aum is not a word, it's a symbol. Because you can't even write it. That's how intelligent these people who came with this. It doesn't belong to any language, it doesn't belong to any religion, it doesn't belong to anything. It belongs, it's a hint to consciousness, to God. That's why it's a very sacred symbol. But these things are forgotten by people, and now you see Aum every place. But they have no idea what it really stands for. You have to feel the Aum. It is the whole, it's really the holy triangle, no? In all the systems, they have this triangle. Aum, also three words. The pyramids, triangle. The Hindus, when they made gods into more forms, they say Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu, three gods. Brahma created the world, Vishnu keeps it steady, and Shiva destroys it for the next cycle. Even the Christians try to follow that with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. With the very childish. Almost a little embarrassing. But I guess they did their best. Not very deep, not very mature. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What is that? Why not at least Father, Son, and the Mother? Just to make it a little bit special, the Holy Ghost. Who's this Holy Ghost? Then it's better to stick to Om then, because it's beyond the mind, you can think about it. And you don't need to make a fool out of yourself. Keep it simple. You can't get it more simple than Om. The most simple and the most deep. Where is Alan? How is Alan doing?
I'm happy.
Happy? Yeah. That's good. How did you like it here? And nice people, no? Yeah? This is your new family, no? You like them? Yeah? You didn't know you had a family like this, did you? No. How do you feel when you find a family like this in the forest? Huh?
Safe.
Very good. Relax in that safeness. Feel safe and feel strong in yourself. You need it. Accept the good news. This is happening. This is here. You can feel safe. Maybe that is a new feeling for you. That's why I say embrace it. You say, "There's for her. I wanted to write you, but I didn't know what. But today I got so inspired. I'm here for the first time and I have a sharing for you. No, I have been in your washing machine for almost a week. This washing machine I talked about often, and you have understood now. It's a very good washing machine if you go in, because I have a special washing powder that takes almost all stains away. You just have to let go and relax in it, even if it's a little bumpety sometimes, and especially in the spinning, you get a little like that. And I think I have tried every program in your washing machine, from soft wool wash to the boiling cotton program. It has been very powerful. I have been going through a big mix of emotions. I have been feeling powerful, scared, brave, trustful, happy, playful, sad, mad, angry, in love. But the best part has been to again be in contact with my joy and playfulness, which I have been hiding for so long. Why have you been hiding it? Because people is very serious, no? That is how the ordinary world is. When you are a child, then you are allowed to be playful. When you grow up, then you have to behave. And that hurts. The more real any person is, then it hurts, because you have to start shutting down from that which is most important. Just the joy, just the playfulness, just an aliveness. But grown-ups, they are not allowed to play. This is very serious. It seems like to grow up you have to become stiff, serious, tense. There's no fun. Escape from those serious people. Seriousness is the worst disease. It's even worse than AIDS. Or cancer. Seriousness is really the cancer of the soul. Then you said, with this joy and playfulness that you've been hiding so long, you realized that. So one day everyone went to meditation. I ran into nature and said, "Hello, nature. I love you and I'm here." For 2 hours, I was running around, climbing, dancing, walking slowly, sitting, singing loud, touching, playing. In nature, it feels easy to be me. Yeah. And people, seekers, they have always been attracted to nature. I love nature, that's why I bring you here also, because it helps, which you have seen. Because nature doesn't judge you. Nature accepts you. But isn't human beings also part of nature? What happened to the nature of human beings that you can't be natural with human beings? It means they have not lost their nature. So that is very sad. Because there is this stage for everyone, you feel more at home in nature. I remember myself, I was living in nature. Before I met my master, I was living in nature. I was living in the jungles, on the beaches, in the mountains, in India. I was very happy. I was free from all these stiff people, society, judgment, seriousness. But even much better than that is to be with natural people. Then you can play with natural people. You can say, you can hug the tree, you can say, "Come, let's dance." But it doesn't dance, it's a tree. So that's the next step. which is very difficult to find. That's what I'm creating here. You have natural people that doesn't judge you. It's almost unheard of. So that's very good. In nature, it feels easy to be me. And all seekers, all meditators have been drawn to nature. Because nature is like it always has been from the beginning of time. So anybody who starts coming back to themselves, they will feel at ease, in touch, a pull to nature, to silent places, away from the noise. It's a natural instinct. Because the more natural you become, the more natural you want to have it around you. The more peaceful you become, the more peaceful you want to have around you. The more peaceful, real people you have to have around you. So that is how it's natural is when you're coming back. The more real, the more playful, the more silence, then you want to be in quiet places. The worst thing for a playful person is to be with serious people. You can do it, and most probably you have to do it also when you go back, but just keep your playfulness inside, and then you put on your mask and just be very serious outside. But no, inside you're playing. Or you just play with them, but then they will judge you. They think you are wacko. That is also good, because then after a while they say, oh my God, no, she's totally gone cuckoo. But then after a while they get used to it and then they leave you. That's the best. They have accepted, no, you're going crazy. No, she's just laughing and playing. Okay, then we leave her, there's no chance. She is really crazy. That's the best. But then for that also you have to be strong, because people will judge you. You have to get used to it, because people are serious. Serious people, they don't like playfulness, because then they have to break. Everybody likes it. But like I always say, if you're not ready, people who come here, many people, they have very, like, is that the face or is it the stone? Like this. And then I have to remind them, just like a stone with two eyes in, who looks totally freaked. And then I have to, excuse me, sir, it is a chance that you start melting, and maybe you even will feel happy. If you're not ready to feel happy, you should go now with your stone face and escape. Because maybe this will transform. Then they think about it, then slowly, everything changes. It has to change. Because human beings are alive, they are playful by nature. They are silent by nature. So this was very good. You went dancing, walking, climbing, singing, touching, playing. I just told you I have been hiding this playfulness, but I don't want to hide it anymore. Now it's very clear to me that if I don't see the world through my playful eyes, I feel dead. Yeah, let it be very clear. And when you see, when you start seeing again, then you're just amazed. How could I be so dead? How could I be so serious? And this is most people, they are like that. You've been like that yourself. No, you see it. And you see very clearly that if I don't see the world through my playful eyes, I feel dead. And that's the terrible situation of the world. They move around, they look like they're alive, but they're not alive, they're dead. They're serious, they're stiff. That is the danger of truth. Then everything changes. You see things as they are. So welcome to the world of the living. In deep respect and love, Ellen. Very good. Take care of it, Ellen. That's what the world needs, more playfulness. Hello, my beloved. I feel that I have been relaxing more and more. I feel that the more I relax, the bigger the ears and of my heart. The more I can hear, the closer to you I feel. Things becoming simpler. With immense gratitude, Menaka. Where's Menaka? And this is the sign, Menaka, that things become simpler. Because life is simple. Life is easy, if you are easy. This is one of my favorite sayings, easy is right. That's what the Zen people say. But easy is only right if you are easy. If you are difficult, life is not easy. The more easy you become, the more life is easy. And then easy is right. So this is how I trick you into it, just relax more and more. Then your ears are growing, because one thing, the Buddha's always said, one thing you can hear, everybody can hear when they have ears, but very few people can listen. Listening means that it goes in, it sinks in. You are not in the way. Your mind, your thought is not in the way, it goes in. And that's how you have to listen in satsang. You have to just be available. Otherwise, the mind is always in the way. Like you're listening to the rain. Do you have any opinions? No, it should rain more. What kind of rain is this? What that? I heard rain before, but it didn't sound like this. You know? This is how the mind is. With everything. You have to listen just like with an open mind. That's the only way to be here. And then, like you say, the closer to you I feel, things becoming simpler. With immensely gratitude, Menaka. Very good, Menaka. Are you staying warm enough? Yeah? The whole world is getting crazy, but it's better to be a little cold, because then you could always put on more clothes. No, they have a heat wave in America, the 40 degrees. So 40 degrees, that's how it is in the Persian Gulf, in Arabia. The whole planet is going upside down. If it's 40 degrees, you can take off more clothes. It's hot. I know, because I've been there in Arabia and those. 50 degrees I've been. It's nowhere to hide when it's 50 degrees. So enjoy the coolness. And be cool. Thank you. Beloved Swami, here I am in your divine presence for the first time. Although since last January I have felt you constantly with me, computer helps a lot since it allowed me to listen to your voice every day and I could also look at the pictures. This is the beautiful thing with the modern things. The computer can be very, very beautiful and it can be very, very ugly. It just depends on the consciousness of the person using it. You find me there in the computer in January, then you have been with me there. Very good. Now you are here. You are here now, you will stay also here now. Since I got here last Sunday, I've been feeling completely taken care of by existence. This is the sign. When you follow existence, you are taken care of. This is the proof you're following existence. When you follow love, love takes care of you. When you follow existence, existence takes care of you. Then miracles start happening. And that is the sign. People are always afraid, oh, if I do this, what will happen? If you do what your heart and soul says, existence will take care. It has to, because you are the children of existence. It's the sign you're following existence, you're following your innermost call. Then existence says, oh, how nice, somebody is listening to me. Your loving arms are holding me and rocking softly. I swim in this ocean of love. And my heart is flowering in gratitude. How beautiful and how happy the heart must be to be flowering in gratitude, because that is what it's there for. And so few hearts is flowing in gratitude on this planet. That's a happy heart. A heart that is flowering. Words are far from being able to describe my joy. Yeah, words fall very, very short. But I hear you loud and clear. I don't listen to the words. In deep, deep trust and gratitude, yours, Lucia. Welcome, Lucia. Percentage of humanity has this overflowing heart. this drunkenness, drunk of love, of consciousness. So you belong to a very small group of the most fortunate ones. It was one enlightened mystic, Mira, a woman. She says, "My heart is drunk. My heart is drunk on love. Clouds of joy, clouds of bliss are pouring within. I'm soaked to the bone." This is the poems you could write. These stories of Miras, of Kabir, of Rumi is happening here. My heart is drunk, drunk on love. Clouds of joy, clouds of bliss are pouring within. I'm soaked to the bone. Now I see the divine everywhere. It's so different than what I saw before. Now, with this lamp, the lamp of love, to show me the way, I have reached my resting place. Mira is a servant of the Beloved. She has dedicated her heart to Him. Be aware what you dedicate your heart to, what you dedicate your life to, what you dedicate your body to, what you dedicate your mind to. Because you become that which you love. Lucky are those who can hear the silent voice of the heart. And blessed are those who have the courage to follow it, not only to listen to it, to hear it, but to follow it, to stand up for it. Then the heart will take care, because you have proven that you listen. May everyone have the courage to listen and follow the heart and your true spirit. Aum Shanti.
Yeah.